This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
That Sports Show with your hosts Mel and Stu.
Good evening, Gay Sports Melbourne.
Yes, hello. After a sombre weekend for the GLBTIQ community amongst the world, we are dedicating this show tonight to the people of Orlando and Florida in the USA. I've had friends actually in that city just before the massacre. So I certainly send my thoughts out to the people of that
city. Our hearts and thoughts go out to the families, the victims, and all of their friends in Orlando.
Yeah, and you know, my tribute was online. The love wins and two men kissing was going viral. So I posted a picture of my boyfriend.
Yourself crossing the finishing line with your boyfriend.
No, we were just there kissing. It's the only photo we've got of us kissing, so I'll have to get another one. But it certainly got a lot of reaction from my friends. And so, yes, we're dedicating this to Orlando and to the US. Hopefully they can change their laws, Stuart. But coming up in the show tonight, we've got 51 days to Rio.
We do. It's getting
ding,
closer.
Ding, ding.
Very close.
Are you excited?
Very excited about it. And the Australia team, the level of intrigue about who gets in and who doesn't get in is just growing by the day.
I know. And we will be talking more Rio right up until the games and during and after. Now, tonight on the show, we'll be talking ice skating, of course, Olympics, track and field, the water quality in Rio, tennis, motorsport, boxing, and Team Melbourne. And of course, last week we talked about the top 10 richest sporting women. This week we're going to talk about the top 10 richest sporting
men. Some surprises there, so look forward to that.
Oh, yes. Very good. So let's come out with a good news story first up, following on from that two men kissing. This week, Javier Rea, the Spanish figure skating champion, who also representing Spain at the 2014 Sochi Olympics, he came out on his Instagram account, and his way of coming out was posting a picture of him and his boyfriend kissing.
It's the cutest way to come out with a kiss. I really like that.
Yeah.
But the news really came as no surprise. He'd been posting pictures of himself and his boyfriend for months on Instagram.
Yes.
And as we know, Instagram is actually social media. It's not just a photo app. And this is the first sometimes we forget. And this is the first time the boys have been pictured locking lips.
I don't have Instagram. You've got it. Is it any different to Facebook?
Yes, because you think you're just taking a photo, but in fact you're posting. To get all the features of it, you need to actually post the photo, and that's the problem.
No, but that's like, if you're doing a picture of yourself on Instagram, that's just exposing yourself to the world.
It is,
yeah.
Yes.
Whereas Facebook's more commentary and some photos.
You think more because it says post, but on Instagram it's just like, you know, do you want to take the picture?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so that was a good news story.
Yeah, just one more thing on Russia on those Sochi Olympics, though. It is a fact, until Russia changes its homophobic laws, they will not be able to hold another Olympics.
Yeah, and also following on from that, at the US Embassy in Moscow, there was a floral tribute growing, and two men, a couple, laid some flowers and they were arrested.
Mm.
Now, I'd like to see the follow-up on that story. They were just two guys, a couple, who put flowers at the US Embassy and they got arrested.
Well, the law there is that they would be seen as actually stating that their relationship is as valid as anyone else's in an environment where it could be seen by children. Mm. That's the law.
Not on. Boo to Russia, but cheers to Javier Rea from Spain.
Well done.
Now, one of our favourite girls on
Sally
the show.
Sally Pearson.
Yes, Sally. Our Sal. She is coming home for some training.
She is.
She has run three races in Europe, in Birmingham, in Paris and in Oslo, and she's missing one more to come home and do some more solid training to hopefully get faster so that she can go near that PB of 12:28, which is almost like a second faster.
She's going to have to be a lot faster to get behind those leading Americans in the run to the August Olympics.
Yeah, Stuart, I actually think she's left the run too late, because you've got to be in peak form, and she'll be... she may make the final, but I don't think she'll get a medal. I'm putting that out there.
I want to disagree disagree with you there. She's run 12.
You want to disagree.
She's run 12.92. She needs to get down in the 12.30 bracket. And what I would say, Malcolm, is do not underestimate the heart of a proven champion, Kieran Perkins, for example.
Sally will fight, but the other girls are fighting too. Anyway, good luck to Sally. Now, in another one for you, Stuart, I'm sure you've heard of Emily Brickacek, have you?
Yes, I have. She's pushing for 5,000 metre selection.
Yes, along with your favourite Eloise Poppet Wellings. And then Madeline Heiner. Now, Emily's come back from injury and she's in a desperate
state
to qualify for the Olympics, and she's doing a couple of meets up until now because the deadline for the team is drawing very close.
Yeah, it's really difficult because she feels that if she goes overseas, she may get sick and may injure her leg, which has been a problem for her. So she'd rather rely on the time that she's done so far, which will get her in the team unless someone else passes.
Well, someone else knocks it out. Yeah. Now, talking of injury, Stuart. We finally have a diagnosis.
On what?
My knee.
Oh, sorry.
I had an MRI and I have a bruised bone and it will just take time to settle down. So I am on the injury bench, as we say, and I have been for 3.5 weeks. So hopefully I'll be able to get back to any forms of exercise soon, but it's just a matter of time. So I'm pleased to have that diagnosis because at least I know what's wrong. So I won't be going to Rio because I'm injured.
Well, let's hope Brickacek makes it.
Yes, that's right. Now, Stuart, more Rio news. Scientists have found there's a dangerous drug-resistant superbacteria off the beaches in Rio that will host this Olympic swimming events and in the lagoon where rowing and canoe athletes will compete. The findings are from two unpublished academic studies seen by the media concerning Rio's most popular spots for tourists and greatly increase the areas known to be infected by the microbes normally found only in hospitals. And they also heighten the concerns that Rio's sewage-laced waterways are unsafe.
Yes, it wastes from countless hospitals in addition to hundreds of thousands of households pours into the drains, rivers and streams. I mean, that's normal for a city, but in Rio, it's really
bad. Yeah. This is affecting even, you know, the famous Copacabana beach where the open water and triathlon swimming will take place. And of course, the other famous beach, Ipanema.
Ipanema.
You know, the girl from
where the girl's from. Yes.
Yeah, the girl's from Ipanema. I just couldn't say it. Choked on me. The second study found that genes of a superbacteria in the lagoon that empties into Rio's Bay includes all that waste that you mentioned. So they need to clean those waterways because I'm really concerned, especially for the sailors, not as much as the rowers, but the sailors, they fall in when it's windy. And if they get water in their system and bacteria, they can have long-lasting illnesses. Remember what happened at the Games in Tel Aviv when they...
Yes, that bridge fell.
The bridge collapsed. Terrible. And some of the Australian Jewish athletes, they have still got ongoing health problems. Some died because of the bacteria.
It wasn't so much the bridge collapse which killed them. It was actually the water.
It was the water, exactly.
But enough of that. I want to hear about what Kitty's up to.
Oh, okay. Well, Stuart, Kitty Chiller, you know, our very favourite
she's been criticised in this one.
Well, that's right. Australian Olympic Committee Chief Executive Fiona De Jong admits that their handling of the Nick Kyrgios matter could have been better and they should have reached out to him and hopes that he becomes a future Olympian. But Fiona De Jong, of course, has backed Australian chef de mission Kitty Chiller despite the sorry saga. They call her beleaguered chef de mission. But I think Kitty is doing it right and Nick Kyrgios is behaving like a little brat. The ACT government has even given money to the Australian Olympic team and the Paralympic team for Brazil.
Now, what De Jong was saying was that she felt that the AOC, i.e. Kitty, should have contacted Kyrgios personally rather than allowing everything to play out in public. But it is
difficult. When they say in public, Stuart, on Twitter.
Social media.
Yeah, you know, he could pick up the phone and call her. She could pick up the phone and call him. You know, people get in this tit-for-tat Twitter war, and the swimmers were known for doing that too. So it was disappointing how it was played out, she said. We can both see both sides of the perspective and we have an obligation to all Olympians to uphold the values of what it means and what they and when they put on that Olympic tracksuit.
All Kitty actually said was that Kyrgios was on watch for his behaviour, which I think was fair enough in the circumstances.
Yes. Definitely. Now, getting back to our news of the week. Now, I've been watching some tennis.
You're addicted to women's tennis.
I am, because you can see the ball. When the men play, they just ace each other and the rallies aren't very long.
You just like their outfits.
No, I don't. Fashion critical. Fashion police here on Joy 94.9. Now, Ashley Barty has made a comeback. You're aware of that, Stuart. Now, I actually saw some of her matches. She's played 2 satellite tournaments, but she also played a WTA tournament where she qualified and she made it all the way to the quarterfinals and lost 7-6, 7-6 in 2 tiebreakers to the top seed, Karolina Pliskova, who went along and won the tournament. She's a top 20 player. Mm. Now, Ashley Barty, watch out. She and Daria Gavrilova are our future, because Ashley's only 20 and Daria's 22, I think. And so Ashley... she's slashed her ranking from 900 now down to the 300s. And if she does well in this next tournament, she'll be in the 200s and she could maybe qualify for Wimbledon or get a wild card. So watch out.
Go, Ashley Barty.
Yes. Now, also in tennis news, Maria Sharapova has appealed her 2-year doping ban for Meldonium use. Now, Stuart, she wants the ban either wiped out or reduced. She thinks it's unfair. What else
Well, she wants
she
to
said?
Make Rio. That's what she wants to do.
Well, she won't make Rio. But what else has she said, Stuart?
Well, she says it's unfairly harsh.
Yes.
She found that an independent tribunal had found that she had not intentionally violated the anti-doping rules.
Yes.
And the background here is that Meldonium has only been a banned substance since the start of
the year,
I think.
And first of January, yes.
About 180 athletes have tested positive for the drug, which is manufactured in Latvia and has been common throughout Eastern Europe since January.
And most of the, no, since a long time, but most of the ones that were banned were Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so very interesting. We will be watching Maria's case carefully because, as we said last week, she, for 11 years in a row, was the top paid sportswoman in the world.
I'm going to put it out there. I reckon she'll make the games. I reckon she'll get through.
I don't think she'll make the games, but she may have her sentence reduced.
To time already served, which might
No, it's not a jail term. Marin Cilic and the other Serbian guy, the name is escaping me. They had their sentences reduced, one for failing to have a drug test and the other one for testing positive to a drug. I've forgotten his name. He's a Serbian bloke, but
While you're looking that up, talk about a bit of Formula One?
Yes.
So Sebastian Vettel offered one of the more exotic excuses on Sunday in the Canadian Grand Prix.
I love this. That's why I put it in on the show.
Well, he was leading and then he lost time by saving 2 seagulls from being flattened by his Ferrari.
Yeah, and that meant he lost the race, which was won by Lewis Hamilton. And, of course, our own Australian, Daniel Ricciardo, he's the team leader for Red Bull, and Max Verstappen, the junior guy that, you know, won his first race at age 18, he wouldn't let Ricciardo pass. So there's some team wars going on there after that Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal.
Yeah.
Now, Stuart, of course, during the week, Muhammad Ali died.
Yes.
I cannot speak tonight, Cassius Clay. And of course, he's called the greatest, and that in his hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee, they had a memorial, and all the tickets were free, and of course everyone wanted a ticket, but people were selling them online, and that's just not on. It's a disgrace. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was designed by him to be a free event, an event that was open to all. So I think people selling the tickets, I think we're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Family spokespeople have been saying that they're personally disgusted and amazing that people would try and profit off Muhammad Ali's memorial service.
Yes.
But we have seen recently in the press over the last couple of days, people do try and profit and make political statements off the back of tragedy.
They do. Now, Stuart, finally, we've got the top 10 men in sport. Now, finally, the leader is not Tiger Woods, who had been for the last number of years, either him or Floyd Mayweather, the boxer.
He's the boxer, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of him, haven't you?
Of course I have. Yeah. Oh. I love my boxing.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, boxers always get a lot of money, but... Now, topping the list is one of my favourites, Cristiano Ronaldo, who he's the hot-looking guy who's from Portugal and plays for Real Madrid. And he, from salary and endorsements, he earns 66 million. And then Lionel Messi, who's the best player in the world from Argentina, he earns 51.4. Then we've got basketball, LeBron James. And
there's three of those in
yeah,
the top
and
10.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So basketball is actually the most prominent sport
yeah,
in the top
and,
10.
And Kobe Bryant. But then, of course, in the mix, you've got Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic in tennis. And you've got a couple of golfs, Phil Mickelson, who gets most of his from endorsements because he doesn't win much these days. And Jordan Spieth, formerly world number one. And there's one American footballer chucked in there, Cam Newton. He's up there as well.
What about Australia's highest earning sports person?
Who would that be?
Jason Day.
No, it would probably be one of those basketballers. He's fighting to make the games at the moment.
Chicago Bulls.
Bogut. Andrew Bogut.
No, yeah. I think you'll find it's Jason Day. So,
right. Yeah. Was he up there?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Now, Stuart.
That's news of the week.
That is news of the week on That Sports Show, where it's now 16 minutes past 8. After some messages from our sponsors and some community announcements, we'll get Dame Manus on the line.
From Team Melbourne.
Yeah, to talk talk all things about Team Melbourne, about what's going on at the moment and what's coming up in 2016.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
We've got Dane McManus from Team Melbourne on the line, and he's going to update us with what's going on with Team Melbourne. Hello, Dane, you there?
Hi, Malcolm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and so can Stuart.
Hi, Dane.
Hi, Stuart. How are you going?
Very well, thanks.
Good. So, Dane, what's happening with Team Melbourne? What have you got coming up for us?
Oh, look, well, you probably would have heard about the major success that one of our teams had, the Chargers, had over in Nashville at the Bingham Cup. So winning the Bingham Cup was a huge success for the Chargers, and we're very proud of them, of course. And the A team winning the Bingham Cup and the B team winning the Sportsman Award as well. So they've had a successful campaign and spent a lot of time and effort getting over there, and it's great to see that that huge success.
Yeah, now, Dane, we had them on the show as soon as they won when they came back. They were in the show in the studio last week. But I understand there might be a welcome home sort of event for them.
Yes, so stay tuned. The Chargers and Team Melbourne will be having a welcome home event for the Chargers. So once we get further details about that, we'll be letting you know. We'll let you know, and hopefully get as many people there as possible.
Sure, we'll mention it on the show. It might be timely for the midwinter mixer or something.
Yes, well, we'll still have our midwinter mixer as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Which is a wonderful event where all the Team Melbourne clubs and anybody interested in joining or knowing more about what Team Melbourne and our clubs have to offer can come along and mix and mingle with all the people from the clubs and hear a little bit more. So that will still occur, but date hasn't yet been planned. So.
Oh, okay. There's not a date we can mark our calendar yet?
Not just yet.
Okay, so, that's fine. What else is coming up with Team Melbourne?
Well, at the moment we're waiting on the registrations for the Miami Out Games, which will be hosted next year in Miami, at Miami Beach in Florida. They will open on Saturday, we've been told. Saturday,
oh, good.
Miami time.
Yes.
So they'll have an updated website with further information, and the World Out Games Miami registrations should open on Saturday morning.
I think it would be a great idea for
Miami time.
If all of the Melbourne sporting LGBTI community got behind Florida and competed in those games. I think it would be wonderful, and also to support the community there.
Yes, yes. It would be great to get as many people there as possible. It's a wonderful location. I mean, South Beach in Miami is a fabulous place to go. A very vibrant and strong queer community there. So, and they have a wonderful games proposed. So once you log on and see all the information on Saturday, or probably Saturday evening, Melbourne time, maybe even early Sunday morning with the time delay. But you'll see that they'll have a wonderful event planned for next year. So I know, Malcolm, we've got a few swimmers that are very keen to go to Miami and compete. So hopefully a lot of the other Team Melbourne teams will get there as well.
Well, yes, I'm keen to go. But as earlier on the show, you may not have heard this, but I told Stuart of the update of my injury. So I'll just tell you, I've had an MRI and I have bruised bones in my knees from the fall.
Does that mean you can't swim?
Well, I've been told to rest until the bruise goes away, but it's the bones.
How did you bruise your bone?
I fell over.
Oh.
So, yes, and it's been 3.5 weeks and hopefully my new goal is Miami. So get fit for that. Now, what else is happening with Team Melbourne? What else have you got for for us?
What else is going well? We've got look, winter's generally a quiet time for Team Melbourne. A lot of our clubs, well, most of our clubs, of course, are still competing and out there.
Mm-hmm.
But from a Team Melbourne perspective, really the big event we have is our midwinter mixer, which,
yes.
Like I said, we'll have some further information about that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the welcome home event from the Chargers. But a lot of our activity is geared towards midsummer, where we have our sports festival at down at Footscray Park, and we also have the sports precinct at Carnival Day, and we also go along to Pride March. So most of our activity is geared around that time of the year, but certainly over winter we realise that people still want to get connected with the sporting community in Melbourne, and that's why we have our midwinter mixer. And certainly our website and our Facebook page has as much information as possible for people to access our team. So I would encourage anybody that's thinking of competing or wanting to participate in community sport to check out the Team Melbourne website, which is teammelbourne.org, and also check us out on Facebook, and you'll be able to see exactly what we're about, and they can choose a sport to come along and try.
Sure. What's the website address, Dane?
Teammelbourne.org.
Yes. Now, I'm feeling a bit like Janelle and Chenille. What have you got for us today? From Fast Forward. Remember those good old days?
But there is another games coming up fairly shortly after in 2018.
Oh, Dane? Yes.
So, yes, 2018 is the Gay Games in Paris.
Yeah. Those registrations are open, yeah.
Yeah, registrations are open for Paris already, so they've been very well ahead of the game, and they look like they're going to have an amazing games there in Paris. I should just clarify, it's teammelbourne.org.au. Don't forget the AU at the end of it.
Thank you, Dan.
But certainly, Paris registrations are open.
Yes.
So it's Miami next year for the World Out Games, and then the following year it's the Paris Gay Games. So both cities have had pretty tragic events over the past year, and it would be great to get as many people there as possible to support the communities there.
That's right, to show the haters and the haters and the haters that we stand together and we will get on with our lives no matter what is going on, and come together as one for sport, whether it be on a local basis here in Melbourne or on a worldwide basis at an Out Games or a Gay Games.
Yes.
Definitely. All right, well, Dane, thank you for joining us tonight on That Sports Show.
Thanks for having us.
And when you get some more information about the Chargers Welcome Home event and the Midwinter Mixer, let me know so we can talk about them on the show, and we may have you on again around that time.
Thanks, Dane.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dane.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So to all those people out there playing sport, listening to sport, watching sport, in the car maybe, thinking about sport, all that, LGBTI sport's very strong in Melbourne,
yes.
And it's a great community to be involved in. There's plenty of teams, plenty of opportunities. You've heard from Dane McManus, who is the president of...
He's the secretary?
He's the media person from Team Melbourne. So really, look up that website, work out what sport you want to play. You may still be in time to go to Miami Beach if you can get organised, or if not, Paris 2018.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Team Melbourne, of course, is the umbrella group for the sporting community here in Melbourne, for the gay and lesbian sporting community. There's a car club, the Motor Friends. There's the Motorcycle Tourers. There's the Ace Girls Tennis. There's Vic Tennis for men, Ace Girls for women, the Front Runners for running, Spikers for volleyball, the Nomads for walking. There's the Bent Cranks for cycling. There's the Glamourhead Sharks for swimming. There's the Bingham Cup World Champions in gay rugby.
Melbourne Chargers
for rugby union. There's also the 69ers for 10-pin bowling, the Smashers for badminton, the Dragons for martial arts, the Surge for water polo, the Rovers for soccer, there's also the Argonauts for rowing and the Wranglers for wrestling. That's one of our favourites.
That's one of our favourites. But we've heard from most of those teams over the last couple of years on this program.
Yes, and we will have some more on. I think it's time we had some volleyball on. So I think they have a tournament soon.
The Spikers do, yes.
Yeah, so I think we'll organise that in the coming weeks and months. Now, Stuart, it's 27 minutes past 8. Chicks Talking Footy is coming up next. with Fiona.
I think Danae. I saw Danae out there, yes.
Yes, yep. Yes, they're coming up. And we will be back next week on That Sport Show to bring you more from the world of sport and the gay and lesbian world of sport. And we'll have a special guest to be announced on our show.
Now, I'll be going to the vigil in Federation Square with Rowena Allen, Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, yes. Which is starting at 5 o'clock and going through till 6 in Federation Square tomorrow.
Yes. And I say go Bombers this weekend. That's all I can say because we're on the bottom now. But we don't talk much AFL. We save that for Fiona Donnelly.
Chicks talking footy.
Anyway, we will talk again next week on That Sports Show.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.